We're back here on Wildcat Insider Hour 2. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner with you. We, I believe, are going to have Wesley Iwundu at 5:20 here at Hour 2 of the show, live from Dayton. K-State taking care of their media responsibilities today before tipping off at 8:10 tomorrow against Wake Forest for the right to be an 11 seed and go to Sacramento and play the 6 seed Cincinnati. I do have a little bit more audio from some of the players yesterday. There was a really funny moment between Wesley Iwundu and DJ Johnson that I want to play for you later on. 537-1350-866-776-1350 to join the show. You can also tweet to the game KMAN if you have questions or comments. I do have the history bit to pay off the tease there and get to you later on this segment. But to segue into that, making the tournament as the very last team in the field, first things first, exonerated you of any ill will on Twitter for your proclamation that you made when? A year ago?
February 2016, yeah.
In February 2016, when you boldly declared, this team will be in the tournament in 2017, save this if you'd like.
And then I...
So take a bow, my friend.
And then
you knew it all along.
I responded to that tweet a minute later and said, with Bruce Weber as the head coach, because I already had people saying, well, who's going to be the coach of that team? So, yes, they did get the job done for me, but it came down very, very close, and... I would feel a little bit better about it if they beat Wake Forest because, you know, there are some people out there saying, well, the first four isn't the tournament anyway. But, hey, it counts. It's going on that banner that they have in Bramlage with the NCAA tournament appearances. Deep breath. Exhale.
Well, yeah. First things first, yes. And there, I think, are reasons to believe that they are capable of at least making a run, rattling off a couple of wins, starting with this first four game against Wake Forest because – we had not seen any sort of a consistent stretch against quality competition at all this year until the last four games that they played. But that is going to be what is really interesting. I guess I say right now, I have written on the sheet, there's a real interesting decision and situation setting up now because everybody has been disappointed. The popular opinion started to shift totally against Bruce Weber and really bottomed out in the Oklahoma game. But now that they are in the tournament, if they were to lose that first game, I suppose is really when it becomes a very interesting conundrum because you're saying, yes, does it count? Does that actually mean that you made the tournament? How do people feel about that? I'm sure there are going to be people split on that, on whether or not they feel like it does technically count as a tournament appearance. And does that qualify as meeting what people had the bar set at, quote unquote, for the expectations this season for this team? But even so, right now, just knowing what we know right now, I still think it becomes pretty complicated because I think there are a lot of people in the same boat as me, like I opened up the show saying, watching them play the way they did the last 2 weeks, and especially in the Big 12 tournament, brought me back around to rooting for the guys, you know, realizing like, hey, I understand there's a lot of frustration here, but these guys have worked their butts off and survived a lot of things that happened the last 2 years in the program. It's more so than just your typical, okay, let's play for the seniors. I mean, right. These guys have been through a lot. And so I think a lot of people did come back around to remembering like, hey, this is about the guys on the team. We should really, really be pulling for them. I think that sentiment exists. But I still think, especially the way that the West Virginia game ended, the frustration came back, and people realized that not everything is perfect, and there are still some blemishes here, and a lot of the same frustrations that you've dealt with throughout the entirety of the season still remain. So how do you take that now that they snuck in as literally the last team in the field?
Yeah, I mean, if K-State were to lose this game tomorrow night, you're left with two facts, and I'm talking about real facts, not facts of the alternative variety. Fact number one, K-State made the NCAA tournament. But fact number two is that K-State was the last team into a tournament that had a historically weak bubble. And I guess you could spread that into fact number three.
Remember the conversation, though, with Jerry Palm?
I know.
I think that's an easy thing to say. I think the bubble is weakened when you go to 68 teams. Like, the bubble is going to be weaker now every year, we're going to feel like, because
expanded the field to 68 teams.
So I won't use that totally against them. I'll just say it's been watered down when they expanded to 68, and it just isn't quite the accomplishment that it once was. The accomplishment has diminished slightly because
right.
of that.
I mean, I'll just let me phrase it a little bit different way. K-State had a season that would be an NIT season for the entire history of the NCAA tournament up until the last, you know, 3 or 4
years. 2011.
Right, when they started that. So K-State would be in the NIT had it been any other year for the NCAA tournament up to 2011. So, I mean, you could say that as an established fact. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think that K-State and especially Bruce Weber can make it a lot easier on themselves or himself by winning this game, and then even if you do lose to Cincinnati, playing a really competitive game there, because I think that in that case, you would have people buying into the idea that, well, we saw some player development late in the year. What could he possibly do with Isaiah Maurice over the course of the offseason? You're going to get Cartier Jarre next year. You're going to get James Love next year to go along with some of these good sophomore guys that are coming back. Then I think the sentiment would probably be there and be positive enough that that Bruce Weber would return. But if they go out and lose by 25 tomorrow night, I really have no idea which way it would go.
Yeah, if they got blown out, I mean, I think that becomes a different situation. I think, you know, reasonably close loss, a game that you're in, which, it, you know, Vegas right now is
against a four seed.
1 point one way, 1 point the other way, or just straight down the middle, pick them. I'm talking about Wake Forest.
Right, I was talking about the loss to West Virginia, but anyway.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is we're looking at things going forward now with the team. So in the tournament, you know, if you lose – you lose a fairly close game to a Wake Forest here. Nothing that's totally out of the ordinary. A 30-point loss against something like that is going to bring back all the frustration, and maybe that changes the situation. But you're heading towards a decision, and to me it becomes more of, if you want to look back and evaluate, all right, what do they do this year? And you want to think about, on a year-to-year basis, did they meet expectations this season? Was this season a success? Well, to be fair, Bruce Weber is correct when he says that they were picked ninth, and they finished sixth, and they made the tournament, which was what everybody said the bar was supposed to be this year. But to me, that's not really the way that you should evaluate necessarily what you're wanting to do with the program. What you should evaluate is, do you feel good enough about the trajectory of it and where things are going? And I still think, I'm not saying book is shut, the trajectory is bad, close up shop, and that's it, no matter what happens here in the tournament. I think that's something that we need to be open to discussing here, and I think there are some things that have changed. I mean, since Oklahoma, when everybody seemingly had their minds made up, Isaiah Maurice, first of all, he led the team in scoring that game. Now, that we know that's not a good sign when that happens based on the results and just, right, I think, the logic behind that. But he has played much better. He, through a four-game stretch there, was averaging 8 points per game. I think in the last four, he has, because at West Virginia, he hit right on 8 points, I believe. So it's been 8 points per game, and it's not just that. We knew he was skilled offensively, but he's been actually displaying some defensive talent, whatever you want. He's been playing some defense. I didn't know he had that in him. And the more and more he is playing, the more and more he's getting out there on the floor. They're trusting him more. They're putting him out there more. That is reason to think, all right, maybe next year is not quite as bleak as I was making it out to be for a while. And when I say bleak, I just thought they were an NIT team, because losing your leading scorer, Wesley Iwundu, who leads the team in 9 statistical categories, he is clearly an asset. And then you're losing who I think is the most valuable player on the team in DJ Johnson. That sting gets offset a little bit here if Isaiah Maurice really is going to be something. Cartier Jarre is another factor here, because if he can actually be a point guard that takes some of that burden off Kamau Stokes, like we discussed earlier, that's another thing. You can start to build the case of how they'll be better than next year with that core, again, getting a year older, too, with Barry Brown, Stokes, and Dean Wade.
Now, being better doesn't necessarily satisfy all of the critics around Bruce Weber, because you can say that, well, being better next year might be being a 7 seed and making, you know, a first-round exit or a second-round exit next year, and should that be where you're at in year 6 than it would be of Bruce Weber. I think that criticism is definitely there. I don't think that there is any indication that K-State will be a contender for the Big 12 championship next year, which ultimately, I mean, Frank Martin made K-State into that conversation a little bit. K-State, I don't think they ever finished like higher than 3rd or something like that, but they were right in there, very close. And so you can go back and talk about that if you want to, but that just goes back to the very simple case of, where do you think K-State should be? And there's just so many different answers to that question.
I just think it's so complex, and I think I have a lot of different thoughts. I thought I was pretty firm after Oklahoma that, hey, I had my doubts about next year anyway. Now it looks like this year is going off the rails, but what they've done and how they've done it has at least brought me around to being more open to consider what we're looking at here. What could totally change things in one direction, obviously, as we said, is losing by 20 to Wake Forest. What could also change it is making a run to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
If you make a run to the round of 32, that would be very tough to decipher, too, what exactly that means. But the reason I bring that up is that there is a lot of history on the side of teams playing in these first four games. Who remembers LaSalle? LaSalle made it to the Sweet 16 after playing in the first four games. Tennessee in 2014, the next year, made it to the Sweet 16 after playing in the first four. VCU in 2011 made it to the Final Four, and then the gaps in there, the other 3 years, at least one team made it to the round of 32. So every single year, a team that has won one of these first four play-in games has gone on to at least win another game and get to the round of 32. So there is, if you're just playing the odds there, a 50%, I guess a 25% chance that K-State is the team that does that. So now you've pegged yourself in that type of a situation, which I think is something to look at here and actually take somewhat seriously that this team could do it. That combined with the fact that they did just throw together a stretch of four straight games against Big 12-level competition where they played fairly consistent basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if they get to the round of 32, I think that it would be pretty clear at that point that, Bruce Weber would be back, especially because you're probably talking about losing to UCLA in the round of 32. And again, there's not a lot of shame in losing to UCLA if you get to that point. So if K-State is able to win two games from here, I think that that pretty well establishes things for next year. And then again, if things go the total opposite direction, it's going to be back to what you had talked about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, entering a very intriguing offseason for the basketball program.
We'll get 8:10 tomorrow for the tip-off between K-State and Wake Forest in the first four matchup out in Dayton. And speaking of Dayton, we go live to Dayton now as we welcome in Wesley Owundu here to the show. Appreciate you taking some time to talk with us here, Wes. What's the vibe like with you guys right now that you've had this quick turnaround and made it out there to Dayton?
Oh, man, we got out here early this morning. Had practice, and now we're just waiting to have our open practice. You know, all the guys are, in good moods, spirits are high, so we're ready to get on the court and get things going.
Well, take me back to what you were feeling and thinking the last time you played in a tournament game in 2014 against Kentucky. Did you have any idea what kind of long, twisting, winding road it was going to be to get back here?
Oh, I didn't, man. It's been a tough one, but, I got to admit it's been worth the wait, through all the things that's been going on, to finally be back here now, man, it's just a weight lifted off my shoulders, man, and what I'm proud of.
Wes, you look back at the way that the team played over the last, week and a half of the season, and especially the Big 12 tournament. To me, and I think to a lot of fans, the biggest difference was what you guys were able to do on the defensive end of the floor. What was the switch that kind of got flipped after that loss to Oklahoma?
I think after the Oklahoma games, guys just kind of, looked in the mirror at ourselves, and we started to fight on the defensive end, and that's what, made us successful, I think, early in the year. We kind of got away from that, and went back to the drawing board, had meetings, and we just said, it needed to start on the defensive end if we want to see, offense kind of come around, and I think that's been the biggest difference for us, in these past 2 weeks is, getting to it on the defensive end.
We're talking with Wesley Owundu here on Wildcat Insider Live from Dayton. The other thing that seemed apparent to me, Wes, was, and Corby Irvin was a guy who spoke to this some in the locker room after the games of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. I remember him commenting that he felt like you guys were the most hated team in America. It just seemed like you guys really banded together with an us-against-the-world type of mentality. Just take me through what, the second half of the season was like for you guys going into that Oklahoma game and how you guys were able to turn it around with that attitude.
Yeah, it was so much noise going on, away from the best part of things and off the court. We just as a team decided, just blank all that out, man, and just play for everyone that's in the locker room and, everyone that's with us along the way. And I think it really paid off ignoring everything that was going on. It was kind of causing too many distractions that we didn't need, as a team that was trying to get into the NCAA tournament. And I think, the seniors, me, DJ, Corby, all the older guys on the team just kind of brought everybody together, man, and just tell everybody they know what's going on away from the court.
Yeah, when you talk about the stuff that was happening there, is the toughest thing for you guys, like social media, is that where you were seeing it the most?
Social media, you just hear it everywhere, man. It's just all up in the air, but, I think guys did a good job of blanking all that stuff out, Everybody has their own opinions, but as a team, we know how good we are, and, we know what we're capable of.
Wes, what was the first thing that Coach talked about with you guys after you found out that you made the tournament yesterday?
Just all about opportunities, Coach stressed to us, how hard we fought for this. So, let's not go to this first game and be done with this so quick. So, we're in this to, win games and to make a deep run. And just like every other team, we're in this to win a championship. And there's nothing less than that. I think that's the championship. Well, to me personally, I feel disappointed. You know, as a good player, as a good team, your expectations got to be high. You got to set the standards high, you know, to make some progress. And I think that's what we got to do moving forward.
Wes, it seems like one of the things that has really helped out here recently, you guys have gotten more off the bench. I mean, Xavier's been a guy throughout the year, obviously, that's provided you a lift. But Corby Irvin and Isaiah Maurice, what can you say about what those guys have done in the last 2 weeks?
Those guys have been a big success, you know, the way we're playing right now, especially Isaiah. I think he's going up a lot in these past 3 weeks, and they've shown on the court, you know, start taking the game a lot more serious, paying attention in practice. And with Corby, I think he kind of got away from what he did well, but, you know, he's back to it, man. He brings so much energy off the bench. You know, the guys, and especially the guards when we're tired, he can do a lot of things, man, that we missed. And, you know, for a good team to go far in the tournament, you need a lot of that off the bench. And those guys are doing a good job with that.
Do you have any idea you could throw it down like he did the other night?
I didn't, man. You know, he surprised me, just like he surprised everybody else that was watching, everybody in the building, you know. But it's great to see him playing with the confidence he's playing with. It'll be a big-time help for us.
What was the best dunk of the season? Was it Corby's in the tournament?
Man, you know what? I don't know. I think DJ might have – that Maryland game earlier in the year, DJ might have had some better ones. But, you know, if you want to say the most surprising one, it'd definitely be Corby. You know, he got up there and surprised everybody, man. We ain't know the fat boy can get up there like that. it was a good look for him, man. It was just powerful.
Well, Wes, my perception, we're talking with Wesley Iwundu, by the way. My perception is you're the best dunker on the team right now. Next year, with you departing, who becomes the best dunker on the team?
Oh, for sure. It's me, man.
Okay.
I knew he was athletic, man. Actually, he might have one of the best dunks this year, you know, off of footback. But, you know, he can do so many things, man. And, you know, not to look so far down the line, but next year he'll be one of the most athletic guys on the team, man. You know, he'll bring a lot to the team.
Well, Wes, before I let you go, I know it's been crazy and hectic for you guys. Have you had much of a chance to look into Wake Forest? What do you guys know about what they're going to bring to the table?
They're a pretty good team, man. Out of the ACC, you know, got really good players over there, especially one of that big man down over there in Collins. So it'll be a good challenge for us, man. You know, we're pretty much alert for it and ready for it. You know, we want to go ahead and, you know, and play K-State basketball, man. Just, you know, move on from here. But challenging, ready to move on, ready to play the game.
Well, Wes, really appreciate again you taking the time with us here. Best of luck to you guys tomorrow out in Dayton. We'll be watching, and if this is the last time we talked to you before the season is done, man, it's been great watching you throughout your career.
All right, man. Thank you for everything.
All right, there's Wesley Iwundu with us here on Wildcat Insider. Appreciate him being able to fit us in. Coming up later on the show, we will have some audio from Wesley Iwundu and DJ Johnson. They had a pretty funny exchange, and what Corby Irvin had to say about getting to the NCAA tournament. But when we come back, we'll get into Isaiah Maurice and what that means for the future because, as I said, my mind is changing a little bit as far as next season is concerned and some insight into Wake Forest from somebody who knows it much better than myself. Coming up here on Wildcat Insider.
You're listening to Wildcat Insider.
It's a fact that Kansas is both the hottest and coldest place you'll ever live. The hot summer sun and winter freezes.